How are you guys doing today? Good.
On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, a zillion.
Nice. That's pretty good. Okay. Last week we handed out the bookmarks. There's more of them right there on that table. I really encourage you guys to pick one up if you don't have one yet. Today, I think, is the 10th. Pretty sure it's the 10th. Okay. So now if you look on the back, it has the days of the month and the readings for each day. And you'll notice there are short passages, like for tomorrow, for the 11th, it's Ephesians 10 or 2, verse 1 through 10. And then the 12th is the same thing. So you'll read, in this case, it'd be like 10 verses, and then the next day you'd read the same 10 verses again. That's how it's going to be for the rest of the month. It's going to go through the book in little pieces, and you're going to read each section twice, 2 days in a row, basically. And the idea is that each time you read through it, you'll just dig a little bit deeper into it and be able to get a little bit more out of it. Because the first time you read through it, you're probably trying to just figure out what's he talking about in general. And the second time you read through it, hopefully you'll be able to pick up some of the more subtle things that he's talking about, really dig into why is he saying what he's saying, stuff like that. So anyway, there they are. Grab one on the way out if you would like to. There are also some out on the table, and there's also invite cards out there. And this month, October, this being the second week of it, we are talking about family. And how what Ephesians says about, you know, about family and God's family, things like that. Okay, first of all, what do you guys, when you hear somebody say the word church or talk about church, what do you think of?
Friends.
Okay, what else? When you hear people say church or talk about church, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Religion, okay. What do you mean by religion, though? Okay. Right. Right. Okay, but part of that, right, but part of that is that a lot of times, at least for me, when I think of church, I think of kind of a, part of what you were saying is that people think of like going to a church service, right? Like on Sunday morning, they think of church, they think of, okay, Sunday morning or Sunday night, whenever it is, they think of like a church service. That's a lot of it for a lot of people, and I think for me, naturally, that's the first thing I think of is the church service. And I think we think of it as something that we go to, and that we, you know, we would invite people to. And part of that is true. That is something that the church does. They meet together, and they sometime during the week they meet together. But what can happen is if you think of the church as just something you go to, or like an event, we become kind of critical because we start thinking about what do I like about the church, or what do I not like about it? What do they do well? And what do I not really like? What annoys me that they do? Okay. So you get kind of critical of what they do, and you think it's more of just for you to go to and you to benefit from and you to do you to get something from. And if you're not getting anything from it, then why would you go? You're going to go find another church that you think you get more from. And also, you know, we think of it as something that we, you know, that we invite people to, which part of that is true. But the reality is when we look at Ephesians, we get this idea that it's not really like an event. The church is more of actually God's family. So the people who call him their father, who call them their father, that's what the church is. It's not actually an event. So I'm going to read a verse here. It'd be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, which kind of makes it look like the church is really God's body here on earth. So chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So he's talking about Jesus. He's saying God placed everything under Jesus' feet. Just a second. Okay, is that better? Is that too loud? Okay. Where was it? Oh, here we go. So God is talking, he's referring to Jesus, and he said, God placed everything under his feet. And he says, including like the church of which it's his body and he's the head of it. So we get this idea that the church is somehow God's or Jesus' body here on earth. So Jesus isn't in a physical human body walking around on earth anymore, but he's in heaven. But his body is still here because we are his body. And his spirit fills us, and then it's kind of like Jesus, because what Jesus was his spirit. He was God's spirit in a human body. And if you think about the church being the human body, and then God's spirit fills us with the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like Jesus on earth. That's what the church is. And it's made up of, you probably got this already, but it's made up of everyone who is his child. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 23 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's church, of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So it kind of makes this idea that we're all kind of pieces. He uses a different analogy here, being that they were all part of like a building, because before they had a temple, and that was what they connected with worshiping God. As they would go to the temple and they would worship God, because that's where God, his spirit lived. So now he's using a slightly different example, and he's using the example of like a temple, like a building. He's saying all of us, the whole church, God's family, is built together on Christ, on the apostles, and the prophets. And it's like we're each a little brick, and we're all just being built together into this building. It says, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. So he's like the main piece, and everything is built off of that. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what he's saying is we're all... Anyone who is God's child is part of this family, who is part of the church, and it's part of God's body and a building that is there for God to live in and worship him through. So the big idea for today is that God accomplishes his will through his church, through his family on earth. So everything God wants to do, the way God accomplishes his plan, which God's always had a plan from the beginning of time until now, even before the earth was created and everything, he had a plan. And the way he accomplishes that now is through us, and it's through his children. And part of it is that we can be useful to God in accomplishing his plan if we're more than just a Sunday morning or Sunday night meeting. It's got to be more than just that in order to really accomplish God's plan, because his plan is a lot bigger than just a Sunday morning or Sunday night meeting. What we're looking at is that part of God's plan is to restore everything to himself. So I know a few months ago we were talking about how at the beginning God created the earth and everything was perfect. Okay, and everything was how he wanted it to be, and everything was just as perfect as it could be. There was no pain in life, there was nothing wrong. There was no problems in life. But then people started sinning. You probably heard about Adam and Eve in the fall. And through that, sin was introduced into the world. So everything in life that you look at and go, man, why is it like this? It's just not right. That's all the result of sin that each of us have done. So we all sin a little bit every day. And the result of that is it accumulates into all these problems in the world. So every problem in the world is a result of our sin. You can point your finger at other people and say, well, it's those people are there. They're doing these things that are causing these problems. But really, each of us have contributed to that in some way. But God's ultimate plan is that, starting with Jesus, and then ultimately at the end of time, is that everything be restored back to how it was, to be perfect again. So starting with Jesus, we can have a relationship with God, and we can start changing and becoming the perfect family how God wants us to be. And at the end of time, eventually, when Jesus comes back and we go to be with God in heaven, that's when everything is going to be completely restored and completely made new. But now that process has started. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12 says a little bit about that. It says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. So saying at the beginning of time, it says that God actually, you know, walked around in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And they, every day he would just come and hang out with them. They would walk around and they would just spend life together. But now, as a result of their sin and all of our sin, it's not like that anymore. God just doesn't walk around with us. We don't see him and realize him here. So that kind of talks about, like, looks at what he said at the very end. He said, in him and through faith in him, meaning Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So it's kind of going back to how it was in the Garden of Eden, that we can kind of approach God right now through Jesus and through what he did for us. And toward, at the beginning, he was saying it was through that God's intent was that, you know, through the church and through his body, his family here, that through that, the world would basically see what God's, his wisdom and his wisdom through everything and his plan for everything. And that's, so that is actually the purpose of the church, is that through us, everyone would be able to approach God and be like, it'd be like how it was at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, and they were walking in the garden with God. It's like now we can actually spend our life kind of walking through life with God. He lives inside of us. We can, anytime, we can talk to him, pray to him, and he can speak to us. And through his plan, God's plan, is that through the church, we would spread that to everyone. Everyone would be able to do that as well. Because ultimately, that's why we were made. Which is kind of the next section we want to look at. Chapter 3 still, verse 20 and 21. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he's saying, through the power, through what God is doing in us and what God is doing through his church, the whole point of that is that God would be glorified. It says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So he's saying the purpose of everything, of all of this, is that, you know, through your life, and through your kids' life, and through your parents' life, and through your grandkids, like everyone on all the earth, God's ultimate plan and goal is that he would be glorified through that. So everyone would look at your life and go, wow, this life doesn't make sense. What this person is doing doesn't make sense unless there's a God. And when that happens, people look at your life and see that, and see a group of people doing that together. They look at it and say, wow, this doesn't make sense unless there's something other than just this life they're living for. And through that, God gets glory, because we make something, we show that there's something more than just this life, that there's a God that we worship and we live for, and that's what we're alive for. And so that's really the purpose of the church, and that's why we're here. It's not just supposed to be an event. Part of being the church is that we do meet together and we do spend life together. And we do meet, like we do meet, right now we're meeting. And it's a good thing, it's not something bad, but if that's the only part we focus on, we're just missing out on the big picture of why we're here and what God meant for the church to be. So I guess the result of that is, what do we do? If we kind of see, okay, the point isn't just that we meet together on Sunday or we invite people to come on Sunday, but there's a bigger purpose through this. God wants to glorify himself, and he wants to restore everything back to how his purpose for everything was made at the beginning. What do we do as a community too, and as a church, to help God do that? Or how do we let God work through the church to accomplish that? Because we looked at earlier is that God accomplishes his will through us. part of it is that we live through community, or in community, I'm sorry. So the verse I want to look at here, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So he says, in verse 3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And he says, there's one body and one Spirit. I think what he's talking about is saying there's one body of Christ on earth. So you think of, and I think the point is that through Christ and through his Spirit, everyone on earth who calls on the name of God and calls him their Father and is a child of God, they're all united through his Spirit. It's not like there's, you know, there's a church here and there's a church across the street and we're all separate. And what his plan is that we're all together. And everyone who has Christ as their Father, they're all united through his Spirit because it's the same Spirit that lives in each of them. And through that, God is glorified. And through when people see that we're not separated anymore, that everyone, these different people who normally wouldn't really be a family, wouldn't really look at each other like a family, wouldn't really care about each other, these people are united and they're together through God's Spirit. So this is just this sense of community that doesn't really make sense without there being a God that lives in them. So that's what we do, is we live in a community and we let God build us into a family and into his temple, if you will, which is a place where he can live. And the purpose of all of that isn't just to have a community. That it's good, but the purpose of having a community then is that God can carry out his purpose and his carry out his work, I guess, through us and through what we do. So the verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 13, or through 13. So picking up where we were just reading, it says, But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he left captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Okay, so what he's saying is, he said, we've all been given grace. And what he's saying is, when Jesus went back to heaven, he says he left captives in his train, which I think what he's saying is, before we had Christ, before we had new life in him, we were like prisoners to the desires that we had that kind of hold us captive. We really were. We were prisoners. And that's the struggle in life, is to be free from that. And Jesus, what he's saying is, Jesus let us free. And we have freedom in Christ. And that's what he's saying. So he says, if he went up to heaven, that means he obviously came down to earth first. So that's what he's saying in that first section. And he says, it was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness in Christ. So he's saying, so the God who came down to earth and gave us freedom from what otherwise we would basically be slaves to the things in life that we'd be running after otherwise, that God appointed there to be, you know, be prophets and apostles and teachers and preachers and things like that and pastors. But he says the reason he did that was to prepare God's people for works of service. So if you look at people like in leadership and you say, okay, that's they're serving. That's what God's called them to do. That's also what what God has called those people to do, people who teach in churches and who are leaders. But he says the reason he did that was to prepare everybody else to basically do the same thing, to do works of service, and to build a body up that everyone would grow. And at the very end of it, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. So the goal is that we would all kind of grow up and become mature in Christ. And I think, okay, so my point is, what I think he's saying is that God appointed some people to be leaders, but he did that so that they would train other people to do the same thing. So there's not, so that's the purpose of God. That's how he accomplishes his will, is through all of us. It's not through some people at kind of that lead the church. It's through everyone. And we learn, so I guess, think about it like this, that there's some people who are teaching you, and there's some people who teach me, and everything we learn, we should find somebody who is kind of, that we can help teach the things we've learned. And we can always have somebody that we're working with. So that's how communities, I think, should work, is that the point of all of it is to bring more people to know Christ. So we should all be working together and spending life together through that, and teaching each other and learning from people who are more mature in Christ, and then also teaching people who haven't experienced Christ to the same extent that we have. And the result of that is then we will achieve the purposes of God's will and the reason that we're all here. So following that section we were just reading, verse 14 through 16 says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown about here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." So he's saying the purpose of what he was talking about, this people teaching each other, continuing to grow into a mature body for Christ, the purpose is that we won't just be tossed back and forth. We'll know what God's will is, and we'll be able to do it, and be able to show other people what it is as well. And we would grow up into Christ. "From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and bonds itself up in love as each part does its work." So now he uses a different example than he was using earlier. Before used the example of like the building that God lives in. Now he's using the example of like a literal body. Well, I guess we talked about that earlier. Yeah, that was the first example, was the body, that we are the body of Christ on earth. And he used that example again, that each of us are kind of a different piece of the body. And the only way the body works is if there are all the pieces and if they each do their job. So each of us should think of ourselves as a different piece in God's body. And so think about what is the purpose that God has given you. It's not going to be the same for everybody. It's got to be different in order for everything to work. And that's why God, that's just how God made it. Because we are all different. And so we are going to have different jobs. But through it all, through all of us working together as a community and through as being God's church, through that, then it's a working body. And through that, God is able to accomplish his will on earth. So think about for you, what is your next step, I guess? And we're going to talk through a couple of things that to kind of put in front of you to think about. So basically, what can you do to live more as part of the body of Christ that he's put you into? And maybe you're at the point where you're not really part of God's body yet. Maybe what you need to do is make a decision to repent from the life you've been living and say, "I'm going to make God my king. Jesus is going to be my king from now on, not me." And you need to repent from the life you've been living and be baptized and make him your king. And part of that process is saying, "I'm going to enter into God's body. I'm going to be a working piece of the body, and I'm going to help build other people up as well." Maybe that's what's in front of you. If you haven't decided to make a decision to follow Christ, that is what God is calling you to. That's your next step. Or maybe it's if you have already done that, then there are, I guess, kind of, if you have made a decision to follow Christ, there are things that, responsibilities that come along with that. And part of it is to be part of God's body and be part of that community. There's no part in your body that's not necessary. Everything is there for a reason. And if you're part of God's body, you're there for a purpose. And it's not just there to hang out. It's there to help the rest of the body function correctly. So if you think about, there's kind of a couple areas where you can work. Either working with somebody who isn't a Christian yet, who hasn't made a decision to follow Christ. And that should be for everyone. Everybody, if you have made a decision to follow Christ, you need to have somebody in your life that is not, that doesn't know Christ yet and doesn't really see the true meaning in life yet. And your purpose is to help them to see why God really made them. So that's part of your purpose. The other part of it is having people in your life that do already know Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, that they need your help. I need help from people in my that know Christ to encourage me and to challenge me and say, you know, how are you doing? Are you really living as a child of God? And I know each of you do too. That's just how it is. That's just part of life. We each need help, and we need to help other people. So if you have made a decision to follow Christ, there's a couple areas. Either you need to have somebody in your life that you really have a relationship with that doesn't know Christ, that you're there to pull them to Christ. That's why God has made them your friend. And somebody there that who is in your life that knows Christ, and they're there so you can help each other become more like Christ. And the third thing is, and this is something for a long time that I don't know, it took me a long time to get this, is that God has made each of us to grow into leaders. So let's say, like, with a community group. Let's say there's somebody, there's a community group you're part of, and there's somebody who kind of leads that. God has made each of us to in some way start leading groups of people towards Christ. So maybe right now you go to the group and you're part of the body there. But think about what could God do with you in the future? Because that's like we were reading that one section where he said he appointed some people to be apostles and prophets in different positions. And he said the reason is so that they could train people to work in the kingdom, to work in God's body. And eventually we would all become mature. So the idea is that each of us should eventually grow into some position of leadership. So how can you start doing that? How can you maybe help, just start helping a leader lead? So if you think about somebody who kind of leads your community group, what can you do to help them out, I guess? And in the process, you'll learn what it means to lead a group, to lead people towards Christ. What's up? Yeah. And that's another thing is in each of these areas, there's people in the people that I was talking about, like people in your life that don't know Christ and the people that do, that you're in each situation, you're helping them grow closer to God. One of the biggest pieces is just praying for them every day. So that's about it. If you haven't made a decision to follow Christ, that's what's in front of you. That's why you're here. That's why we're all here, is to have a relationship with God. And the flip side is, if you have already done that, then your new purpose is to help other people know Christ. So how can we live as a community and as a community work together to spread God's word to everyone? So think for yourself, what's God calling you to do? And I'm going to pray here in a minute and then go back and we're going to take communion. And part of it is that, okay, when we take the communion, it's like a cracker and some juice. And what that reminds us of is Jesus' body. That he died and he gave up his body for us. So it's like a piece of his skin or his body and a cup of his blood. And that's what it reminds us of, is his body, and how we need to just remember that we are part of God's body. We are part of Jesus' body. Each of us are a piece of it. So when you take that, remember that's what God has called you to, is to be part of his body. Just kind of celebrate the fact that we're all together and we're all part of his body, working together for his purpose. So, yeah.
I need prayers about one thing.
Okay.
I'm going in this Wednesday afternoon for an eye exam.
Mm-hmm.
I need prayers that that will go well.
Okay. Sounds good. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for the family you've put around us. The family of your children that and your body. I pray that in each of our hearts you would be changing us and pulling us toward you. And pulling us toward the real purpose why you made us. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you did give up your body for us. And you gave up your life so that we could have life in you. Pray you be with everything that with John, the exam that he's going through. Pray that through you be glorified, and pray that and see you in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, we're done. And remember to get a bookmark if you don't have one yet.